Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Good afternoon or good evening, my friends. In May, Douglas V. Gibbs, a good friend of mine, who I have never met in real life, will be coming to Albuquerque, and I will meet my good friend for the first time. Now, I get a lot of my inspiration to do what I do from him and the things that he has done since we met online many years ago. Yesterday, February 17th, our tyrannical governor finally lifted the mask mandate, leaving only Hawaii as the only state left with one with the mandate on. But I'm looking at it the way I did last year when our tyrant in the roundhouse in Santa Fe lifted it for the 4th of July. I said back then that she would reinstitute it once the need to make us New Mexicans happy that we didn't have to wear a mask anymore for the 4th of July, that she would reinstitute it. I said then that she would reinstitute it, and she did just that. This time, she lifted it again yesterday, left it in place for the hospitals and for doctors' offices and places like that and businesses like Walmart. The employees still have to wear their masks, but none of us have to. But the one thing that she actually did that went farther than most other states have done is that she's leaving it up to the schools as to decide whether our children should wear a mask at school or not. Now, with that being said, I think that the parents need to get out en masse and let the schools know under no uncertain terms that we as parents do not want our children masked up. And I think that's the only thing that will keep our schools from going the direction that the governor actually really wants them to go. But there have been little victories here in New Mexico lately with the 2022 legislative session. And in the Pinion Post today, it said that the 2022 session was a rough one. But it was rough for the Democrats. And that's something I will get into later on because they had agendas that they wanted passed but didn't get passed. But we are here and we're going to discuss all of this. But first off, I wanted to talk about the show, the main thing that I wanted to talk about tonight, the beginning of the show. The headline of Pinion Post said, Lujan Grisham finally lifts indoor mask mandate. As previously speculated, scandal-ridden alleged serial groper Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham has lifted her stringent indoor mask mandate following the closure of the 2022 legislative session, and I will talk about that session soon. According to Daniel Chacon of Santa Fe, New Mexico, Lujan Grisham announced that the mask requirement is gone. The governor made the announcement during a Thursday after, which was yesterday, a Thursday afternoon news conference to discuss the end of the state's legislative session, according to KOB4, until yesterday, New Mexico and Hawaii were the only states that had yet to set a date for lifting their mandates, the AP had added. According to a report from KOAT7, it says there are a few places where mask mandates still stands, health orders state. Those institutions include all public hospitals, which really don't need them, but profit or nonprofit public hospitals, general hospitals, special hospital nursing facilities, assisted living facilities, adult daycares, hospice facilities, rehabilitation facilities, state correctional facilities or jails, juvenile justice facilities, residential treatment centers, the New Mexico State Veterans Home, and community homes except for eating and drinking. Any privately owned businesses are allowed to set their own rules regarding face coverings. School districts are also announcing their own policies. So, like I said before, folks, now is the time to, as parents, go up to the schools and let them know under no uncertain terms that we do not want our children masked up. We don't want them vaccinated either. But as the Pinion Post put, this is a developing story. And there were some comments on that. The first comment from Jim F. said, it will never end, just optics for the election cycle. And that's what I'm thinking, that this is kind of like last year where the governor lifted them for the 4th of July. And then after that section is over, then she will go back to the masks, which she did, proved me right along. But I'm thinking that as soon as the legislative sessions are over, as soon as the election is over, if she wins, then she will reinstitute the mask mandates. And that's probably coming if she wins. Another one says, very astute, Jim. This is only the end of phase one of the fourth industrial post-human revolution. The WEF has already stated their plans, and everyone needs to educate themselves about them. Is everyone aware that the PCR tests were used to collect data? What do you think they're doing with everyone's data? This is war, and the people have no clue. See, the people understand what's going on here. They understand. Another one said, agreed. Stay wary and vigilant. They want you to think they're restoring something they had no right to steal in the first place. I'm watching for the day we all need to pull all money out of banks. And folks, these comments are absolutely right on the money. The things that are needed here really show what we have coming here in America. And if we don't open our eyes and figure out what is coming, America the free is lost, and we've already lost a good portion of it.
But what we saw in that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans who apparently have no option to say.
Show me where it says that protest is supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, he kicks.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right on to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. So even if he lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. He would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said, if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's amazing how people try to frame everything racially, and how they create divisions among our society.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
We'll be right back. Welcome to hour number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding. This is Duke Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, and I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. Through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, you're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
Okay, we are back, and we're looking at today as being Friday, the 18th of February. It's really hard to believe here. February is mostly gone. Next week, 10 days from now, is going to be the 28th and the last day of February. It is amazing how fast time seems to fly, even when we're not having fun. I remember being a kid. One of the things that we could always count on is if we're not having fun, time's going to go slow. But now that I'm an adult, now that I'm getting older, and I know all the liberals out there saying, oh boy, he's getting older, he's about ready to die. Not close. The closer to old age that I get, the faster time seems to go. And it's actually been speeding up exponentially since I turned 21. It seemed like it took me forever to get to be 21. And once 21 was hit, a couple of eye blinks later and I'm 69. So, and here we are, having to put up with a government that has overstepped its bounds in almost everything that it does. America was founded with a government that was supposed to be representative of the people. In other words, the people are the ones who are the bosses. And it is the people who tells the government what to do. Now the people are telling the government what to do, and the government is doing everything they can to shut them down, because the government, like Nancy Pelosi, she figures that she's the most powerful woman in the world, and she worked too hard to get to that position to have some scummy people take that power away from her. Well, the problem is, Ms. Pelosi, is that you don't have any power. You work for us, not the other way around. But according to the government, the people who are now fighting for freedom and peacefully protesting have every right to do what they're doing. And this is something I want to talk about later on in the show, probably in the second hour. But right now, we have Ukrainian rebels who are evacuating civilians to Russia amid a crisis. And the crisis is that Russia has decided for the Ukraine what is best for them. Even though the people in Ukraine feel that what is best for them is freedom. It's the same thing that is going on here in the United States and in Canada. Canada right now is actually teaching Americans what it means to fight for your freedoms. Americans have lost that ability pretty much, especially because of the left. The left has decided that we don't have freedoms, that we are all subjects of the government, and the government is going to tell us what to do. Now, there are people who are fighting against that. Granted, there are people who are fighting against that. I've been one ever since the beginning. Douglas V. Gibbs, who I was talking about earlier, is one of those people. And he's actually making a business out of teaching the Constitution to people who will listen and who will listen to what he has to say, because what he's saying is what the Founding Fathers said. But the government hates that kind of thing. And in Canada right now, truckers are being arrested. Their trucks are being hauled away by tow trucks. But the people who own the tow trucks are being made to do this by the government. But what the tow truck people are doing is they're deciding that they don't want anybody to know that they're the ones who did it. So they are hiding all the markings on their trucks so that nobody can tell who the companies was that's towing these people away. And during all of this, a couple of the truckers have been arrested, but the ones that are still there are still fighting. They're not giving up. And in that, they are teaching Americans just what it means to fight for your freedoms. They've had their assets frozen so they can't do anything. They've had the government has been tyrannical and frozen their assets, which they don't have the authority to do in the first place, but they're doing it anyway, trying to shut down this peaceful protest because it doesn't follow the agenda of the government. Now, the United States has a constitution, and we follow laws, or at least we used to anyway. Canada doesn't have a constitution, but they follow the laws. But the government now is not. The government is the biggest criminal in Canada right now. Justin Trudeau is the biggest pansy boy child who thinks he's in charge that Canada has ever seen. He's pulling shit that should not be allowed, and the truckers and their supporters are not backing down. So he is doing what he has no right to do. He is freezing their assets. He is freezing their bank accounts. He is freezing the money that has been donated to them to help. And he has no right to do this, but he's doing it anyway. And with all these police that are out there on horses trying to round up these peaceful protesters, all I have to say to them is the same thing that Stinchfield on Newsmax said. What the hell are you doing? You're supposed to be there to protect the freedoms of people. And what you are actually doing is destroying the freedoms of people who are protesting for their freedoms. As a policeman, you ought to be freaking ashamed of what you're doing. And I've noticed that most of them have their faces covered. Of course they've got their faces covered because they don't want to be identified as the ones who did what the government tyrannically decided that they were going to do. And the tow truck drivers are doing the same thing. They're covering their faces because they do not want to be identified as being part of this government tyranny. But the article, this whole thing with what is going on in the Ukraine and what is going on in Canada is all stuff that needs to be stopped, folks. This is ridiculous. The government is being a pansy. The government is being a baby because they're not getting what they want, so they are becoming babies who are throwing a tantrum, and that's all it is. back here in New Mexico. There was another article from the Pinion Post, and the headline of it was "All the Biggest Victories During the 2022 Legislative Session." This was written by a member of the Pinion Post in the New Mexico News and Opinion of Politics. It says, and this is a good article here, folks, because I have been talking about how tyrannical that the governor here and the government here has been. Yesterday, she lifted the mask mandate, which should have been lifted a couple of years ago. But she held on. Even after states like California got rid of their mask mandate, she still held on. As soon as California said that they were getting rid of their mask mandate, MLG said, well, we're going to push ours back another month. It didn't last a month because she is finding out that things are not going her way. The 2022 legislative session was, sure, a rough one for the Democrats, that is, although there were many long nights and a few all-nighters. New Mexicans from across the state, including so many Pinion Post readers, made their voices heard and secured victories against the radical Democrat agenda. Here are some of the biggest victories. House Bill 156, radical magazine ban making countless New Mexicans felons. Together, because of our calls, emails, testimony given in-house committees, New Mexicans killed HB 156. The House Consumer and Public Affairs Committee voted to table the radical bill by Representative Patricia Roybal Calabaro, Democrat of Bernalillo. During the committee, a poll of attendees showed that 82 people were against the bill, or 93%, to just 6 in support, or 7%. Representative Stephanie Lord, Republican of Sandia Park, called the bill a pipeline to prison that would affect low-income families. The committee's vote was 5-0, with no one supporting it. Representative Randall Pettigrew, Republican of Lee County, made the motion to table the bill, and our editor, John Block, submitted testimony against this bill. And there was a link that said read more about it here, but I didn't click on that or print it out. The next one was HB 9, to lock up firearms or become a felon. Another radical anti-gun bill, HB 9, sponsored by Representative Parmalia Hernandez, Democrat of Bernalillo, again, was rejected by the House Appropriations and Finance Committee on a 13-5 vote to table it. This bill would have mandated citizens to lock up their guns, imposing a cost burden on New Mexicans. Well, already New Mexico is one of the poorest states around because of our governor, so that would have been bad on the people. It is unlawful, in the bill it said, it is unlawful for a person who keeps or stores a firearm to do so in such a manner that the firearm is accessible by a minor without the authorization of the minor's parents or guardian, or when it is used in commission of a crime, the bill reads. Our editor, John Block, submitted testimony against that bill. It continues, when a firearm is accessed by a minor and used in the commission of a crime, the person who keeps or stores the firearm commits unlawful access to a firearm by a minor and is guilty of a misdemeanor. So that is a bill that if you have a gun and somebody steals it, or a minor steals it and uses it in the commission of a crime, you're now a felon. Representatives Patricia Lundstrom, Democrat of McKinley and San Juan, Allison, Democrat of San Juan, Harry Garcia, Democrat of Bernalillo and Saboya, McKinley Socorro, San Juan and Valencia, Ambrose Castanella, Democrat of San Juan, San Miguel, Santa Fe and Torrance, and Candy Sweetser, Democrat of Grant, Hidalgo and Luna, voted with the Republicans on the committee to table the bill. Our editor, John Block, submitted testimony against this bill. John Block is one of the people who is the editor of the Pinion Post. He has been involved in all of this. Next one, HJR 2, Radical Enviro Marxist Constitutional Amendment. For the second straight year in a row, the Pinion Post helped organize New Mexicans to fight this radical enviro Marxist proposal to enshrine a constitutional right to clean and healthy air, water, soil, and environment, a stable climate, and self-sustaining ecosystems for the benefit of public health, safety, and general welfare. It was sponsored by Representative Joanne Ferry, Democrat of Doñana, and Senator Antoinette Cedillo Lopez, Democrat of Bernalillo. Of course, Democrats of Bernalillo seem to be involved in all of this. During the short 30-minute testimony period allowed by Chair Gail Chesi, Democrat of Bernalillo, in the House Judiciary Committee, multiple industries spoke out against the radical proposal. One expert from UNM Law School claimed that small companies and small businesses might be injured as well as governments from the bill banning the little guy. The committee ultimately voted 9-3 to table the extreme proposal, making the second year in a row it has failed. The Pinion Post organized New Mexicans in both years against the resolution. Our editor, John Block, testified against this legislation. And the next one, SB 14, radical 20-35 cent gas tax on the poor. During the nail-biter victory at about 3 a.m. Thursday, the House of Representatives voted 33-33 to kill SB 14 by Senate Pro Tem Mimi Stewart, Democrat of Bernalillo, which would have installed a clean fuel standard resulting in a 20-35 cent per gallon gas tax, harming the poorest New Mexicans. And there's a lot of us out here now. During the committee process, Stewart erroneously claimed gas prices were lower in California after the clean fuel standard, despite California's prices being lower before it was implemented. Currently, California's average price of gas is 135 times greater than the national average, according to AAA. This is the second year in a row the Pinion Post has organized New Mexicans to fight this radical bill, and it looks to have paid off both times. Our editor, John Block, testified against this bill. HB 126, CRT in state agencies. This bill by Representatives Tara Lujan, Democrat of Santa Fe, and Pamela Herndon, Democrat of Bernalillo, would implement critical race theory into state agencies, which mandates the Chief Diversity Act officer of the state to lead the development and implementation of proactive diversity, equality, equity, and inclusion initiatives in support of the state's strategic plan to create a culture of diversity, equality, equity, and inclusion pursuant to Section 6 of the Diversity Act. Now, diversity and equity are two terms that the left uses constantly, and they mean nothing like they're supposed to. It doesn't mean equality. It doesn't mean equal fairness for everyone. It just means it's just a term to make you think that it means equality, but it doesn't. This is the second year in a row the Pinion Post has organized New Mexicans to fight this radical bill. It says the bill that would have put critical race theory in state agencies thankfully died, due in part to the Pinion Post advocating against the bill. Our editor, John Block, testified against this bill. Possibly the sweetest victory this legislative session was the death of the Democrats' most desperate, extreme bill imaginable, SB 8, resurrected to the in the dead of the night as SB 144, which would have turned New Mexico into a Wild West voter fraud. The bill was a top legislative priority of scandal-ridden alleged serial groper, Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham, who was hell-bent on ramming it through to enshrine Democrat election fraud forever. It would have legalized widespread ballot harvesting, unsecured ballot drop boxes, automatic voter registration, felon voting abilities, and more in the 165-plus page bill that would have amended at the last minute to give Democrats everything they could have dreamed of. But the Democrats got greedy, and they ended up with nothing. No, not even the compromise SB 6 bill, which the Senate unanimously passed. The Pinion Post sent out tens of thousands of emails about SB 8 and 144, and it resulted in New Mexicans sending tens of thousands of emails and phone calls to members of the legislature to oppose the radical legislation. Together, we killed the voter suppression bill that would have harvested votes from our senior citizens and taken away the voices of low-income, underserved communities. But our editor, John Block, testified on multiple occasions, both in the Senate and the House, against the bills. Seems like this man's been really busy, huh? HM 38, Critical Race Theory and Sensitivity Training for Law Enforcers. The Radical Memorial, which had around $800,000 back-end appropriation through the General Appropriations Act, would have implemented the first steps into putting critical race theory and LGBTQ sensitivity training into the police force. It luckily was never given an audience before the full House of Representatives, and it died. Our editor, John Block, testified on multiple occasions, both in the Senate and the House, against the bill. SB 202, pay raises for the governor, AG, and others. SB 202, sponsored by Senators Pete Campos, Democrat of Las Vegas, would have increased the governor's and all state-level position salaries by a massive amount. The governor would be paid $150,000 and an increase of 36.36%, while all state-level officials, including state auditor, treasurer, and secretary of state, would receive a 35.29% increase in salary. And this was all while New Mexicans were suffering under the policies of this so-called governor, and 40% of our local businesses are now gone forever because of her policies. And she wanted a raise? The Attorney General would receive a 31.57% increase in salary, and the Commissioner of Public Lands would receive a 38.88% increase. This fiscally insane bill, thankfully, did not pass. The bill never reached the Senate floor, and officially died. Our editor, again, John Block of Pinion Post, submitted testimony against this bill. It didn't pass. HB 4 and HB 277, MLG's Hydro Hub bills. And she is pissed about all of this. She thinks that we have turned against her because she was doing this for the good of the people. No, she was doing this for the good of her. No one else, the good of her. She doesn't care about the good of people in New Mexico, and the people of New Mexico are starting to find out about this. Despite making this a top priority for this legislative session, Michelle Lujan Grisham's eco-left hydrogen bill died early, with both Republicans and leftists rejecting HB4 on a vote of 6-4 and the House Energy, Environment, and Natural Resources Committee. The Democrats tried to resurrect it in the form of a zombie bill, HB 227, by Representative Patricia Lundstrom, Democrat of Gallup, but it once again died being withdrawn from the committee and tabled. The top Lujan Grisham priority was yet another victory for the reliable gas, oil and gas industry, which the governor has been hell-bent on crippling throughout her tenure as governor. HB6, Clean Future Act, dead. The radical bill by Representative Nathan Small, Democrat of Doña Ana, would have further crippled energy producers of New Mexico by mandating the Environmental Improvement Board adopt rules that would force the reduction of greenhouse gases and emissions by 2030 statewide. Direct emissions of greenhouse gases shall not exceed 50% of 2005 levels, and by 2050, total statewide greenhouse gas emissions shall achieve at least net zero emissions, which is pretty much impossible, folks, provided that the total statewide direct emissions of greenhouse gases shall not exceed 10% of 2005 levels in 2050 or any subsequent year, the bill reads. The bill never achieved final passage in the House and ended up dying before it could reach the finish line. This was another top legislative priority of the Pinion Post to kill in the 2022 session, and we did just that, killed it. Our editor, John Block, testified against this bill. Like I said, he's a busy man. Although there were multiple other pieces of radical Democrat legislation that New Mexicans helped kill, these most horrifying bills all died, thanks to you, the readers of the Pinion Post, and the people of New Mexico. We are not only your number one source of online conservative news here in New Mexico and opinion in the state, we are an effective resource to battle the Santa Fe swamp. Thank you for staying with this fight with us to take back our state. And that was what was going on here in New Mexico this week. And I've had a lot of people tell me that things aren't changing fast enough. Now, considering the fact that New Mexico has been pretty much a liberal bastion for the last 35 years, I actually think that things are changing rather quickly, in that all of these bills that the governor, the so-called governor of this state, the tyrant in Santa Fe, wanted to pass over the objections of almost everyone in New Mexico, she didn't get any of them. And it's rather funny because she's a lot like Hillary Clinton. Things don't go good for her, and she'll start claiming victim status. Well, that's what Hillary Clinton is doing. That's what MLG is doing.
Reeling in the Years reminds us that we will be right back after these important messages with more of the Voice of Reason on NWCR Radio. Conservative Nation Media, or CNM, is pleased to announce the return of Black by Color Only with Vincent Brown. Earlier this summer, Vincent took time off for the summer to do some things that he wanted to do with his family. Family is important, no matter what the left says. Now he is back. Starting on the 19th of September, Vincent Brown is back with Black by Color Only at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturdays with the show that you all loved. Vincent has a special way to let you know just what is going on and why it is good or bad. That's Black by Color Only on CNM, where America always wins. As the technology of drones constantly grows and things get easier and easier to do, the cameras on the drones available are better too. So much so that mapping and surveying is now done with drones. That is the one area that Eye in the Sky Drone Services comes into play. You need your roof scanned out for work to be done up there? Call Eye in the Sky Drone Services. You need land photographed from the air? You need to call Eye in the Sky Drone Services. We can even do weddings from a perspective not seen anywhere but in the movies. All in 4K and full color, unless you wish to do your videos in sepia tone or even black and white. We can even go into the oil field and take photos out there of oil rigs and pipelines too. That is Eye in the Sky Drone Services out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. Email us at eyeinthesky@gmail.com or call us at 505-317-8741. Give us a call because we can do it all, because the sky is the limit.
Caller number is 546-476-5284. I have the chat room open right now. I am still working on trying to get things going here. One of the things that's happened over the last month, and it'll be a month on the 21st, my wife left to go to Pennsylvania. On the 21st. She's been gone since, and it pretty much put me into a funk, being as that she wanted me to move there. Not something I wanted to do. We have talked pretty much every day. Actually, we have talked every day, and it's turned out that things were not turning out the way that she thought they would there. And on the 2nd of March, she will be back, which is a good thing. But during this whole time, I have, you know, it's like I was doing my updates daily for a while. I was doing my show every Friday. Things were going pretty good here. We've got ourselves a really nice apartment, and it is rather expensive. It's actually more than I've ever paid for an apartment before in my life. But the thing that is good about it is that with the rent, all utilities are included, so nothing else has to be paid for. You know, our heating bill is part of the rent. Our electric bill is part of the rent. Our gas bill is part of the rent. Our water and sewer bill is part of the rent. So we don't have to worry about any of that, which to me is a great thing. It has been a long, long time since I've lived in an apartment where all utilities were included. And this is not something I wanted to give up. We've got ourselves a two-bedroom, two-bath apartment. It's got two balconies on it. One is good size. The other one's a smaller one off the master bedroom. The master bedroom has its own bathroom, and it's a full bath. And then we have a second bathroom, which is here in the hallway, across from this bedroom, which is now an office, which has got two desks on it, in it, where Tammy was doing her work at one of the desks, which is the one I'm actually at right now. And then the other desk was my desk, where I had all my computers and stuff. Well, right now, I've got one computer over there, one computer over here. But it looks like I'm going to be moving those back, because I'm going to have to start figuring out a way to get another computer in here so that Tammy can start working from home. There are a bunch of places here in town. Presbyterian is one of them, who is looking for people to work out of the home, which means she'll have to have a computer. And I've got an extra computer here. It's a big desktop Mac computer. So I'm going to have to see. And it was one that I had left in Indiana when we left. And the people who were living in our house actually took it and threw it outside. And thankfully, it was covered up because it rained. And so it seems like it works, but because I don't have a monitor for it now, because she threw the monitor out there too, and it was a great monitor. It was one of these Apple Cinema monitors. It was big and wide and was a good monitor. That was ruined. And I was rather upset about that, but thankfully my wife's son came and got the computer and found out that it still turns on. Well, I've got it set up here. I've got a keyboard on it. But now I have to get an adapter for the monitor so that I can plug the monitor in. And once I get the monitor on it, then I can find out if it's still working or not. And if it is, then maybe that'll be a computer she can use for until we can find herself another one. But come the second, she will be back, and it'll be a happy day here. But hopefully with her coming back, I'll be able to start doing things like I was before, not having to worry about everything. About having to move again and having to pull all of my stuff out of here and take it to Pennsylvania and then have to try and get my show restarted there, which would mean I'd probably be off the air for a couple of weeks at least. But this last week I did my updates Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Yesterday I didn't get it done because we had a snowfall here. After we'd had a day of 68 and 60 degrees, respectively. And then yesterday it was like 41 degrees and it snowed. By the end of the day, all the snow was gone except for up in the mountains. But tomorrow it's supposed to be close to 60 again. So it's going to be a nice day. It's going to be nice to where I can start putting together advertisements again. There's a couple of them that I have to redo. One of them is the ad for American by Design, and the other one is the ad that I've got together for Black by Color Only, and I've got to do another one for my Eye in the Sky drone services and for the other things that I've got here. So I'm going to have to redo all of those. But now that things are finally starting to work out here, I should be getting back to normal on the things that I'm doing. You know, my updates, which suffered badly during this last month because there was a lot of times that I just didn't do them because I didn't feel like doing them. I just wasn't in the mood. I knew that there was work out here that needed to be gotten out. I knew there was liberal policies that were being pushed that the mainstream media will push right along with the liberals and not tell the American people the truth. So a show like this one and my updates have to be out there, but I wasn't putting them out there. So it's kind of a iffy situation on the whole thing, but hopefully things will be getting back to the way they should be. I found another article, and this one's about Hillary Clinton. Like I was saying when I was talking about our governor, that our governor is a lot like Hillary Clinton in the fact that she plays the victim when things don't go her way. Hillary Clinton does too. And in this article from Western Journal, that the headline is Hillary plays the victim in convention speech, takes potentially threatening shot at Fox News. Well, of course she does, because Fox News won't report her the way she wants her to be reported. But Newsmax is now saying Hillary is back. Well, she just needs to go the hell away. She needs to just shut her mouth, maybe even sew it shut so she can't speak anymore, and then just disappear. Go away. Because the woman is nothing good for America. Nothing good for America. And everything that she wants to do, just like everything Michelle Grisham here in New Mexico wants to do, is bad for this nation. And these are things that we have to start realizing here, folks, because the media won't report this. They won't talk about how bad Hillary Clinton is for our nation. They won't report how bad Gavin Newsom is for California. They won't report how bad Gretchen Whitmer is for Michigan. They won't report how bad MLG is for New Mexico. But they will report that they are doing the nation's work. No, they're not. They're trying to destroy this nation. But with this one from Jack Davis in Western Journal, he put a nettled Hillary Clinton on Thursday, lashed out at Fox News, offering the potential threat of a lawsuit over its coverage of a court filing from special counsel John Durham. Now, this filing of this report by special counsel John Durham put her in a bad light. It showed all the evidence of the things that she did that was against the law, excuse me, and against policies that are supposed to be followed by politicians. And all she can do is rub her eyes and go, oh, boo-hoo-hoo, I'm the victim here. No, she is not. She is the criminal. But last week, Durham, who investigated the origins of the claims that former President Donald Trump's campaign had links with Russia, alleged that lawyers for the Clinton campaign hired a technology company to infiltrate computer servers that belonged to Trump Tower and later the White House, and lay a false trail that would implicate the Trump campaign of having contacts with Russia, according to Fox News. Now, Clinton, former Secretary of State, who lost the 2016 presidential election to Trump, on Wednesday referred to the filing and its coverage as a fake scandal. On Thursday, as she addressed the New York State Democratic Convention, Clinton, while avoiding mention of former Governor Andrew Cuomo, of course she did, whose virtues she extolled before the convention in 2018, teed off on Trump and Fox News. Now, this is amazing, folks, because the Democrats are still blaming Trump for everything, and he's not president anymore, hasn't been for a year. Everything that's going on in this nation right now is Biden's fault, Hillary's fault, the Democrats' fault, MLG's fault, Gretchen Whitmer's fault, Cuomo's fault, Newsom's fault, not Trump's. And I don't care how they spin this. If this was done the other way around and a Democrat was being blamed for things that were going wrong because of a president that was not their president, they wouldn't allow this to happen. But because it goes against them and the president is theirs and everything is going wrong, the fault has to be Trump's. Even though Trump is a private citizen now, he has absolutely nothing to do with what the government is doing. He hasn't had anything to do with what the government is doing for a year or more now. But it's still Trump's fault. Democrats get away with this because they are the babies of the bunch. And if they're having troubles, then it has to be somebody else's fault. It can't be theirs. But the article goes on and says, bad joke? Biden says he's put a dead dog on a Republican's doorstep as county councilman. Really? But you don't hear anything about this in the mainstream media. No. You never will either. But the article goes on and says, so now his accountants have fired him and investigations draw closer to him, and right on cue, the noise machine gets turned up, doesn't it? This is what Clinton is saying. Fox leads the charge with accusations against me, counting on their audience to fall for it again. And as an aside, they're getting awfully close to actual malice in their attacks. But according to the Business Insider, it's called discovery and it's called depositions. So bring it on. Malice? Really? It's called news. Hillary, we invite you to bring it on. It's from a legal filing. We quoted exactly from the filing that was put in federal court, Hannity said. Actual malice, according to the New York Times, means displaying a reckless disregard for the truth or publishing information known to be false. And the New York Times should know this because they do it all the time. The Times recently won a lawsuit filed by former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin, who claimed the newspaper libeled her. It did. But, of course, the judge was liberal, so didn't fine for her. In the aftermath of that suit, David A. Logan, a professor at the Roger Williams University School of Law in Rhode Island, made a comment that could apply to any Clinton lawsuit as well. Clinton lawyer, it says that Hannity had ridiculed Clinton on Wednesday, according to Fox News. It's another vast right-wing conspiracy, Clinton said. Hannity said, at least according to the always honest, always truthful, always ethical Hillary Rodham Clinton. The two-time presidential loser broke her silence and announced that the Durham filing, which all but accuses her campaign of, you know, kind of looking at the other campaign, to say it politely, was fake news pushed forward by Fox. Really? According to Hillary, this is just another case of her enemies trying to smear her sterling reputation, unquote. But don't worry, if there's someone you can really trust, give it to you straight, it's Hillary Clinton, right? Hannity asked. Remember the same Hillary who lied about the private server? The same one who lied about classified material on that private server? The same Hillary that lied about whether she wiped the server clean with a cloth? The same Hillary that lied about Benghazi and about that trip to Bosnia under sniper fire? The same Hillary Clinton who lied about Whitewater and her husband's many sexual transgressions? Let's jar your memories, shall we? And given what we know, ask yourself this question. Are you going to trust an official court filing from a special prosecutor? Or do you trust Hillary Clinton? I think the answer could not be more obvious, Hannity said. And that is absolutely the truth here, folks. Hillary Clinton has showed us over the last several years that she does not know what the truth is. And we have to keep going on this one after the starting of the second hour.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Cons-
Conservative Nation Media is growing, and what better way to grow than to bring our own Uncle Bing Fisher back with his great show, American by Design. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and his love of America back to CNM with American by Design, Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central Time on ConservativeNationMedia.com. So stay with Conservative Nation Media, working to get ourselves back to 7 days a week, where now we have the weekends filled, ending with one of the oldest shows on CNM, with Bing's mellow voice giving you the wisdom that America is craving today. That's American by Design on Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins. Conservatives are always fighting to find a place they can call home. And every time we find one, the leftists in this nation take that away. Well, we have a new home now, and all you have to do is go in and join. Bite Me in the Basement is that site where we can join in to get our voices heard by others who feel the same way as we do. Just join BiteMeInTheBasement.com and join us for a rousing discussion of American patriotism and become a member. Learn things that you can do to help America become great again, to stop the lawless things that are going on, so we never have to see another fraudulent election like the one that put America-hating Joe Biden into the White House, and now he shouldn't even be there. That's BiteMeInTheBasement.com, and join patriotic Americans for a vision for a future America.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding. This is Kathy Henner's A Daily Roll Call, and we need more voices like Robert who aren't afraid of the wrath of the left, even when the truth is told and it doesn't fit their agenda. Now, with Biden in charge, this is more imperative than ever. From New Mexico in CNM's Freedom Studio comes the second hour of the show. And now, here again is Robert.
Okay, we are back for the second hour of the show, and the call-in number is 646-478-5284. Biden's America Rescue Plan. You know, it's kind of like the Build Back Better plan. It's not working, and it never did work, but he keeps touting it anyway. This American Rescue Plan actually destroys black jobs, unemployment news shows. And this comes from Western Journal again, and it's written by Abby Liebing on February 17th, which was yesterday. It says the American economy continues to limp along in the aftermath of the pandemic, despite all of Joe Biden's promises for growth. it hasn't happened. Biden's predictions for the American economy have continued to fall short, and there is still significant unemployment. Unfortunately, it's minorities who have suffered the most. Biden has made promises in the past, particularly to black voters, but is now failing to deliver. "You've always had my back, and I'll have yours," Biden promised to black voters when he was running for office, NPR reported. But this has clearly not been the case, as black communities economically suffer due to Biden's policies. And he keeps pushing these same policies, even though they have failed the whole time, and they have made him the least popular president in American history. But he keeps pushing them. Michael Austin is a free market economist who works with Project 21, a black leadership network run through the National Center for Public Policy Research. He spoke with the Western Journal recently about the current state of the economy and how the Biden administration's policies have actually hurt rather than helped the labor force and minorities. In December, the Bureau of Labor Statistics reported the total unemployment rate was 3.9%, but overall, only 199,000 jobs were created. Now, Biden keeps touting that he has created more jobs than anyone in history. Here's the problem. Every job that has suddenly come back in his administration has been the jobs that he himself killed at the beginning of his administration. And many of those still haven't come back. They're still dead on arrival. But he keeps saying he's doing the better than any president ever has. Minority populations are the ones getting hit the hardest with unemployment. Bureau of Labor Statistics reported that the unemployment rate for African American men was 7.1% in January. Unemployment for African American women was 5.8%. Do you think that there will ever be a full recovery, economic recovery under Biden? I don't. Unemployment for Hispanic population was at 4.9% for the same period, Bureau of Labor Statistics reported. Austin pointed out that while these unemployment numbers are disappointing, it's also important to look not just at how many are unemployed, but also what the labor force participation is. Austin pointed out that the White House unemployment numbers are disappointing. It is also important to look not just at how many are unemployed, but also what the labor force population is. Across the board, labor participation has declined. Among the white population, there was only about 61.7% participation rate in December. Asian participation was 64.6%. Black participation was 60.8%, while Hispanic participation was 66%, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. This lack of labor participation does not indicate that there are not enough jobs, but rather that people are simply unwilling to work for a variety of reasons. And why should they? They're getting free money from the government, something that people on the right have been fighting against ever since Biden took office. This lack of labor participation does not indicate that there are not enough jobs, but rather that most people are simply unwilling to work for a variety of reasons. What I really think is the biggest problem isn't the slow job growth. It is the fact that there are so many Americans who have just stopped looking for work. And there is where the unemployment numbers are so low. Because if all these people were still looking, unemployment would be very high right now. But because all these people have stopped looking, they've stopped being counted. So therefore, the ones that are looking and are looking for work right now shows that unemployment rate is 3.9%. It's much higher than that. I guarantee you, folks. It's just the same thing as the Democrats always do. They spin the truth so that it's no longer the truth. During the time that President Trump was president, we had the lowest number of Hispanics out of work. We had the lowest number of blacks out of work. We had the lowest number of Asians out of work than ever before. And yet they were saying that unemployment was like 8% or 9%. Actually, it was closer to 4% then. It's probably closer to 8, 9, 10% now. But because all these people have stopped looking for work, they're no longer counted. See how that works? Biden jabs Trump by ordering contested records to be released to the January 6th committee. Austin said that job openings are about 50% higher than they were before the pandemic. As 2021 wound down, several reports came out showing that employers had job openings but were left scrambling to find workers because people were not looking for work. Why should they? They were being paid to sit at home. Reuters reported back in September that the measure of labor demand actually reached the highest levels seen in nearly 20 years. But there was nobody to take them. Austin also pointed out to a number of policies that are encouraging Americans to actually not work. So when we talk about policies, I think we have to look at almost the entire plethora of what the Biden administration has put in place, because ultimately what it has led to is so many Americans feeling like they don't need to get up and work, which has led to so many disastrous effects, not only in the labor market, but in the economy as a whole, Austin said. The unwillingness to work is clear in the quitting rates that were seen throughout 2021. In November, there was a second record. There was a record amount of people quitting their jobs. CNBC News reported the quit levels have surged to 4.53 million for the month. This era has been cherished, has been christened the Great Resignation. Austin pointed out that it makes sense that people are quitting since they can stay home and still benefit, which is what I've been saying all along. As long as the government's going to pay people to stay home, human nature says if I'm going to be paid to stay home and not work, I'll stay home and not work. And when they stay home and not work, they're not looking for work. So consequently, they're not listed as unemployed. You have all of the, this is a quote from Austin. He says, quote, you have all these, let's say, mothers, all these parents that had to decide whether they were going to stay home and supervise their children or go to work. And lo and behold, I'm not surprised so many women, including African-American women, decided that they're going to stay home and continue to watch their kids. And then more than that, they were able to go through this process, the more comfortable that they were able to go through with it. Unquote. The decline in workforce should come as no surprise considering the policies coming from the Biden administration. Austin zeroed in on the American Rescue Plan in particular as a major policy that has encouraging workers to stay home. Though Biden said it would create 7 million jobs, as the Washington Post reported, it more importantly handed out checks to Americans for COVID relief. This simply served as one more push for many American workers to stay home and still benefit. Studies also showed that despite costing $1.9 trillion, the American Rescue Plan did not create jobs. That's what I've been saying all along, folks. Biden administration has not created jobs. The jobs that they have gotten were jobs that were already there that disappeared when the pandemic started. So they didn't create any jobs. They just opened up jobs that were already there. They had lost the ability to employ. The American Enterprise Institute queried in December just what had happened to the millions of jobs promised. AEI scholar Matt Weidinger wrote, that is, the legislation has yet to create the first of the millions of new job supporters promised it would. So does the White House regard the current job situation as dire? Of course not, unquote. Austin further added that the broader spectrum of the economy, the slow job growth, means that only about 84% of the jobs have been recovered that were lost due to the pandemic. Again, this comes back to the issue of Americans being incentivized to work. While the American Rescue Plan has a major role in that, there are plenty of other policies, too, that are driving job growth downward. Austin pointed to policies and messaging about the vaccine mandates. There have also been expanded unemployment benefits, which effectively pay more Americans to stay home instead of working, he said. The child tax credit, as well-intentioned as it is another program that, of course, encourages people who are not working to continue to not work. Austin added, so there's a whole plethora of different policies that are all designed not to encourage people to work, but to make people comfortable. But that creates so many other negative effects, like the inflation and low job growth, that it's unfortunately going to be difficult for the economy to recover. Unquote. While Austin believes that there are a lot of policy issues to blame for this, he also pointed to the fact that much of the American population is simply fine with not working and receiving compensation for it. The problem is that this could damage the economy deeply, and it has. And it's also put America in so much debt right now that it will never get out of it. Our children are now in debt to the tune of trillions of dollars that we allowed because we allowed Biden to cheat his way into the White House. While Austin believes that there are a lot of policy issues to blame for this, he also pointed out the fact that much of the American population is simply fine with not working and receiving compensation for it. The problem is that this could damage the economy deeply. Quote, I think that the whole mindset where you think it's okay for government to continuously send checks to Americans, that's almost like thinking you can drive across the country without getting an oil change, Austin said, unquote. The reality is that the economy, almost like a car, is going to break down. It's going to overheat if you don't take care of it. And so I think without limiting government spending, the American economy is at risk of uncontrolled inflation, he added. So true. This is what we have been warning you about for the past couple of years. That is why Austin thinks that a lot of the spending and relief bills currently making their way through Congress should be chucked altogether. If things continue the way they are now, we are headed towards a huge economic downturn. The amount of taxpayer funds that we need, that we are just spending out the wazoo without really any checks or controls, is going to lead to a massive spike in inflation, Austin said. And then coupled with the fact that so many Americans are not working, it can lead to stagflation and our economy and really a huge economic downturn. This is stuff that we on the right have been warning everybody about for the last 2 years, folks. And now it's coming to fruition, although Biden and the left and Pelosi and Schumer and Waters and all these moronic idiots on the left are still telling us, oh, everything's fine. Everything's great. We don't have to worry about a damn thing. Everything is wonderful. When the fact of the matter comes in, it's not wonderful. Hasn't been for a long damn time. And it won't be for a long time to come if this is not put a stop to. We are already $30 trillion in debt, folks. How long do you think it's going to take us if we work the rest of our lives at the highest pay we could possibly get, everyone paying the highest taxes we can pay? It's still going to take our lifetimes, our children's lifetimes, and their children's lifetimes to even get rid of this debt. And that's only if there's no extra spending at all over those next several generations. And you and I both know the government can't get along without spending money. Even though the money is ours, it's not theirs, and every bit of the money that they say they are giving to us had to come from us in the first place for them to have it. So they're not giving us free money. They're just giving us back money that we gave them. And the problem is now they're printing money that has no gold value to it at all. And people are not giving the government money. So the government is actually making money up right out of thin air. And where's that going to lead us? Going to be bad, folks, if we don't wake up and start flying right. And it has to be done soon because we've almost already gone past the point of no return. Right now, Biden is doing everything he can to start a war with Russia. A few days ago, I had actually announced that Russia had pulled back 10,000 troops from the border. And then Biden had to open his fat pie hole. And then Putin said that he wanted all American troops out of Europe, period. And those 10,000 troops that he pulled away from the border, all he did was reposition them. And he pulled 7,000 more into the border. And now we've got Kamala Harris over there trying to take care of business when she's not the president in the first place. It should be Biden over there, not Harris. Harris had another job, to take care of our southern border, and she never went there. She never did her job there. Oh, she claims she did. Oh, she claims she went to the border. But she didn't. That is a bald-faced lie. The only ones who have been to the border are Texas Governor Greg Abbott, a bunch of Republican senators and congressmen, Ted Cruz, and a whole bunch of people. And Texas has sent the Texas National Guard down there to patrol the border. That is not Texas's job. It is Biden's job. But since Biden won't do it, Texas is. The border wall is Biden's job. But Biden won't do it, so Texas is doing it. And the lamestream lying liberal media is coming down on them for doing the right thing by saying they are traitors to America. No, they're not. It's Biden who is the traitor. Not DeSantis of Florida, not Greg Abbott of Texas, not Ted Cruz of Texas, not Jim Jordan. The traitor and the traitors are Biden, Harris, Pelosi, Schumer, Waters, MLG, Whitmer, Cuomo, Newsom. Want me to go on? Every one of these people should be in jail right now, but they're not. Hillary Clinton is another one. She should be in prison. But she's not. Why? Because she's a Democrat. Because she's a woman. That's all it is, folks. That's all it is. If she was a Republican, she'd have been in prison a long time ago. If she was a Republican and she would have said, at this point, what difference does it make? She'd have been in prison, period, right then and there. We'd have never heard from her again if she'd have been a Republican. But because she's a Democrat, all of this stuff that has been against her, all of the laws that she has broken, all the things that she did that were against the law while Secretary of State, while in the White House with Bill Clinton, while in Congress, any number of those things would have put her in prison if she'd have been a conservative. And this is something that we have to start looking at, folks. Republicans and Democrats live by different rules. Democrats can get away with and do anything they damn well please. Doesn't matter if they're breaking the law or not. They get away with it because they're a Democrat. You let a Republican get away with even half of that and they're in prison. Now, this vote that came up today about Trump that was put down in Congress, put down because of essentially one thing. All the Republicans needed was one more vote, actually two more votes to vote the whole thing down. Four Republicans, and I've got a picture of the screenshot of this. Two Republicans voted against the prohibited use of federal funds for schools that enforce COVID-19 vaccine mandates on children. Two Republicans, Susan Collins and Roy Blunt, voted against it. Now, there were only two that needed to vote for it, and they would have passed. The ones that didn't vote, they didn't even show up. Richard Burr, Lindsey Graham, James Inhofe, and Mitt Romney. Now, all six of these Republicans are not Republicans. Now, Lindsey Graham every once in a while does the correct thing. But like today, he did the wrong thing. He didn't even show up to vote, which is a bunch of cowardice. Richard Burr didn't even show up to vote. He's a coward. Lindsey Graham didn't even show up to vote. He's a coward. James Inhofe didn't even show up to vote. He's a coward. Mitt Romney is a turncoat chicken shit coward. He didn't even show up to vote. And then the two Republicans that did show up to vote voted against it. Susan Collins and Roy Blunt. Both of them should not have an R in front of their names. Because they're not Republicans. They don't believe in the sanctity of this nation. They don't believe in the sanctity of our children. They don't believe in keeping our children safe. They don't believe in keeping the America safe. And it's time we started doing something about it.
Reeling in the Years reminds us that we will be right back after these important messages with more of the Voice of Reason on NWCR Radio.
Vietnam was
was the war where American troops showed valor and bravery on the battlefields, but where the enemy was nothing more than ghosts in the jungle, and they were superstitious too. This gave rise to the Vampire Patrol. Six men who fought the whole war together, spreading death and destruction along with vampire voodoo lore into the ranks of the enemy with cutthroat precision and accuracy. Now, years later, Matt Joseph works as a private investigator in Tucson, Arizona, running his own business, the Matt Joseph Investigations Company. His best friend and former commander of the Vampire Patrol is chief of police of the South Tucson Police Department. The job that gets Matt on this case also brings the Vampire Patrol back from the past and places it smack dab in the middle of the present day, taking him to a small town on the Indian reservation called Lukachukai in northern Arizona. There, a mountain named Lake Butte not only holds mystery, but also a dark cloud of fear that oozes out of it into the evening sky. Matt has been hired to find out what is going on without getting caught up in its death and destruction in the process. Night Owls is first in a new series of mysteries featuring Matt Joseph, Private Eye, and is on sale now at https://www.amazon.com/dp/15002844491. That's https://www.amazon.com/dp/15002844491. It is also available in both digital and book form. That's Night Owls, Matt Joseph Mystery by Robert P. Garding. Order it today. CNM is trying to find new shows for the weekdays that are open. We have three shows now on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. The open days are Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. If you have a show that you are looking to air on a network, CNM is looking for you. Give us a call at 505-317-8741 or email us at conservativenationmedia, all one word, 2017@gmail.com. Send us a short MP3 giving us a sample of what you would sound like, day that you want to be on, the time that you want to air your show, and we will do the rest. CNM is a talk radio network with a conservative bent, and we love America, her constitution, her laws, and we support our boys in blue and our military too. Come join us and get yourself on the air. Headline is U.S. convoy organizer to Newsmax, mothers out coming out swinging. And this was from yesterday. American mothers are getting behind the people convoy, a U.S. protest calling for the end of COVID-19 pandemic mandates, of organizer Maureen Steele told Newsmax on Thursday. Quote, there's at least a dozen mothers groups that have come forward, Steele said Thursday, told Thursday's Eric Bowling, The Balance. If you back mothers into a corner like that by attacking their children, you're going to lose a large voting group, that's for sure. The mothers are coming out swinging. Steele said, Steele, who is organizing an American trucker convoy from California across America, starting next Wednesday,
said mothers groups are organized to supply the truckers with care packages, including food and water. Former President Donald Trump had famously appealed to the suburban moms during the 2020 presidential campaign, joking, "Please like me." But President Joe Biden and Democrat states have lost momentum with the voting bloc amid mask and vaccine mandates, particularly with school children. "It's not just mothers either," she told their host Eric Bowling, adding LGBTQ groups are seeking to get on board with the protest against the pandemic mandates, which have been building infrastructure to mimic the Canadian trucker protest that has landed in Ottawa. "This is everybody," Steele told Bowling. "This is the entire country, every walk of life, every nationality, every facet of community that you can imagine is on board for freedom. We deserve nothing less." And this whole thing with the American truckers. I was watching a thing on Newsmax the other day where it showed that not only truckers are involved in this, but medical people and pilots are too. And one of the pilots they talked to said, "Today, we're all truckers." Amen to this, man. Without truckers, our nation would not survive. Steele said the funding for the convoy is planning to get to hold donations with a private bank to keep them from being frozen by government opposition, as she expects counter protests. "So our funds should not be able to be frozen or hijacked, and all the money is being held by this third party firm, so we can assure that it absolutely gets to the truckers and it's clean," she said. "That's why it took so long. We have such an infrastructure built for this operation that it took us a while before we could come out." Steele's convoy will be making stops in Arizona and Texas, and its final destination is not being disclosed, potentially keeping the expected opposition from anticipating its moves. Now, I've seen several maps that show several routes, but there is nothing definitive on where it's going to be. And they're doing this for a purpose, folks, so that politicians can't get involved and say, "We can't have this. We can't do this. Let's freeze their funds. They're not going to be able to do this." This convoy that's coming up, and it's supposed to start on March 1st, learned from what the Canadian truckers went through. And it's like I said earlier, most people don't think that Americans can learn freedom from anybody, but we just learned a great lesson from Canada. Those truckers up there are heroes. They're not the criminals that Trudeau is pushing out that they are. The true criminal here is Trudeau. He is the criminal, not the truckers. The truckers are freedom-loving people who are fighting for their freedoms. They're fighting for everyone's freedoms, and it's going to be happening here in America too. And it's about time. People are finally getting sick and tired of what the government is doing to us. Everything the government does has done the last couple of years, they haven't had the authority to do, but they've done it anyway. The People's Convoy page has more than 101,900 followers, and Steele told Newsmax earlier Wednesday that there are about 1,000 truckers signing up to join the protest against the emergency orders. "We demand the declaration of the national emergency concerning COVID-19 pandemic be lifted immediately and our cherished Constitution reign supreme," the group's website reads. Amen to that, folks. Amen to that. And on a note to this story, Newsmax TV now carried in more than 100 million U.S. homes on DirecTV Channel 349, Dish Network on 216, Xfinity Channel 115, Spectrum U-Verse on Channel 1220, FIOS Channel 615, Frontier Channel 115, Optimum Channel 102, Cox Cable, Suddenlink Channel 102, Mediacom Channel 277, AT&T TV Channel 349, Fubo and major OTT platforms like Roku, YouTube, and Zumo, Pluto, and most smart TVs, including Samsung, Sony, LG, Vizio, and more. So you can see this everywhere, folks. I have a smart TV that's an LG. It has all this built into it. It has LG channels that are local channels from 1 to 99, and then once it hits 100, then it goes into the LG channels, which includes Pluto, which includes Zumo, which includes all this other stuff. And in that is where I see Newsmax. So we can all see it, folks, if we really wanted to see it. If we really wanted to know what the truth is out here, we would be able to see it. The trouble is, like here in New Mexico for so long, so many people just listened to what was on KOAT TV or read what was in the Albuquerque Journal. People are finding out that the truth is not there. The truth is not on KOAT TV, Channel 7. The truth is not in the Albuquerque Journal. But the truth is in the Pinion Post and the conservative New Mexican. The truth is in Breitbart. The truth is in Western Journal and Newsmax and the Epic Times. The truth is in the people. And that is where the Biden administration is losing out. That is where the Democrats are losing out. That's where MLG is losing out. That's where Whitmer is losing out, and Cuomo and Newsom and Waters and Pelosi, Biden, Harris, Schumer. It's where they're all losing out, folks, because they're not watching what the people are saying. They're not caring what the people are saying. They're just pushing their own agenda. It doesn't matter to them what the people say, because the people are nobodies to them. Little shows like this one, they don't care about this one. Most of them probably don't even know about it. But I'll keep going. Sooner or later, somebody's going to see me, and it'll either be the complete building of this NWCR Radio and CNM Network with Black by Color Only and American by Design, or it'll be the downfall of us, because the government will come after us because of the things that we're saying. I have said ever since the 2020 election that there is no way Biden could have won that. And if you looked at it with an open mind and a clear mind and a mind that was ready to accept common sense, you'd see it too. Biden couldn't get more than 100 people at his rallies, whereas Trump, every rally he did, had tens of thousands of people cheering and yelling and screaming for him. But Biden couldn't get 100 people. Who actually won that last election? Sure as hell wasn't Biden.
You are listening to Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins.
We're not gonna take it.
COVID was and is a virus that only seriously affects a very, very few of us, and now some doctors are even saying it is more like the seasonal flu. Fauci and the liberal left has lied to us to lock us down, and the media has lied right along with them, and they need to all be in prison. When tyrant Michelle Grisham opened the state here in New Mexico on the 1st of July, I said she would close us back down, and she did. Now we need to take New Mexico back, as she has made this state the worst in the nation in a lot of ways, and New Mexico is too great a state to be left in the mess that she alone caused. The tyrant in the roundhouse wants us to be her subjects. I won't allow that, and neither should you. For a safe and free New Mexico, call 505-476-2200 and let her know that we are mad as hell and we are not going to take it anymore. Already more than 40% of the small businesses in the state have been destroyed by her. Open up and stay open. Save our state from the tyranny of MLG. Listen to NWCR Radio for more on New Mexico and the liberal mentality here in America, a mentality that is destroying our great republic. It has to end now.
Peek-a-boo, peek-a-boo, smile.
Smile, buddy.
Come on, smile. Honey, he's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah, maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy. You know how boys are.
Or maybe he's teething. Oh, poor baby, I think his gums hurt.
Maybe he's just tired.
Or maybe his tummy hurts. He didn't eat that much.
Maybe he's not ticklish.
You think maybe he's scared of a dog?
Maybe he'll outgrow it. Maybe it's a phase. Maybe he just doesn't like smiling.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No big, joyful smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs or see a doctor today for an autism screening. The sooner it's diagnosed, the better. And it can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Okay, we are back for the final segment of the show. Ukrainian rebels evacuate civilians to Russia amid crisis. And this was an article that came out in Newsmax today. Spiking tensions in eastern Ukraine Friday aggravated Western fears of a Russian invasion and a new war in Europe, with a humanitarian convoy hit by shelling and pro-Russian rebels evacuating civilians from conflict zone, a strong explosion hit the eastern city of Donetsk. The Kremlin declared massive nuclear drills to flex its military muscle, and President Vladimir Putin pledged to protect Russia's national interests against what it sees as encouraging Western threats. U.S. and European leaders, meanwhile, grasped for ways to keep the peace and Europe's post-Cold War security order. While Putin held out the possibility of diplomacy, a cascade of developments this week have further exacerbated East-West tensions and fueled war worries. This week's actions have fed those concerns. U.S. and European officials focused on an estimated 150,000 Russian troops posted around Ukraine's borders, warned the long simmering separatist conflict in eastern Ukraine could provide the spark for a broader attack. Vice President Kamala Harris said the U.S. still hopes Russia will de-escalate, but is ready to hit it with tough sanctions in case of an attack. U.S. leaders this week issued their most dire warnings yet that Moscow could order an invasion of the Ukraine any day. We remain, of course, open to and desirous of diplomacy, but we are sure also committed if Russia takes aggressive action to ensure there will be a severe consequence, Harris said, to the annual Munich Security Conference. And who can look at her while she's talking and actually take her seriously? I know I can't, because she is nothing but a, I don't want to say it, but she's nothing but a slut pretending to be vice president. While Russia snubbed this year's conference, lines of communication remain open. The U.S. and Russian defense chiefs spoke Friday, and U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin called for de-escalation, the return of Russian forces surrounding Ukraine to their home bases, and a diplomatic resolution, according to the Pentagon. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov agreed to meet next week. Immediate worries focused on eastern Ukraine, where the Ukrainian forces have been so-called fighting pro-Russian rebels since 2014 in a conflict that has killed some 14,000 people. A strong explosion was reported Friday in the center of the city of Donetsk, according to the rebel news agency DAN and an Associated Press stringer there. There were no immediate details on casualties or where it took place. Separatists in the Luhansk and Donetsk regions that form Ukraine's industrial heartland, called the Donbass, announced they are evacuating citizens to Russia starting Friday afternoon. The announcement appeared to be part of Moscow's effort to counter Western warnings of a Russian invasion and paint Ukraine as the aggressor instead. Ukraine's not the aggressor. Russia has been. And this is something that anybody who is watching what is going on has to be able to know. Russia is a huge country. It's got huge resources. And it's got a leader who wants war. He's wanted war for years now. He didn't get it while Trump was in office because Trump stood him down. He knows Biden can't, because Biden doesn't have the wherewithal or the strength to do so, because he has completely deteriorated America's standing in the world. And Americans have allowed it. It's like I said, there is no way he could have won this last election. And if Americans and the government had done what they should have done, this would not be happening now. Because if Americans and the government had done what should have been done, Trump would still be president, and this would not be happening, because Trump was a strong hand. Not only was he a strong hand, but he also had a strong military and a strong might behind him. And America, after Obama, was being respected again. America, after Obama, was energy independent. Biden effectively got rid of all of that. We're not energy independent anymore. We're dependent on our enemies for our fuel. New Mexico, our big industry here was gas and oil. MLG effectively got rid of most of that because she followed Biden. And the people are getting pissed off. The people are mad about it now. Freedom Convoy in Canada essentially showed Americans what it means to be free and what it means to fight for your freedom. A lot of Americans had forgotten how to do that. But it looks like they're starting to do it again, because come March 1st, we've got our own convoy coming, and they've done it in such a way that the government cannot freeze the assets that are there for them. That plus the fact they're not letting anybody know where they're going to be going, how they're going to be going, and where they're going to end up. So the American people who put this convoy together are smart. They're not allowing the left to figure out, okay, they're going to be here, so we're going to come here and we're going to stop them. The left doesn't know where they're going to be. The left doesn't know what they're going to do. The left doesn't know where they're going to end up. The left doesn't even have access to their bank accounts. Which is where the Canadian truckers made their mistake. They should have taken the time to do what they've done. But even though the government is coming down on them now, they're still standing firm. They're showing Americans what it means to fight for your freedoms. They're being arrested. They're being stopped. Their trucks and their vehicles are being towed away. But they're standing strong. And in that, all I have to say to them is God bless them. They are showing Americans what it means to fight for your freedoms that are being taken away by a tyrannical government. And it parallels what's going on here in America, because our government is a parallel. Our government is a tyrannical government. It is being showing Americans tyranny. And it has taken our freedoms away and our Constitution away and our laws that protect us away. And in this, we need to start standing up and fighting for what is going on, because if we don't, the same things will happen here that are happening in Canada, where the freedoms of the people are being stolen. The ways to fight for freedom for the people are being stolen. And the man baby in the parliament, Justin Trudeau, is throwing a temper tantrum and doing everything he can to show the world how big of a baby he is. And these are all things that the American people who are putting together the Freedom Convoy down here are learning from. The government hasn't seen anything yet. The government hasn't seen anything yet. But they're in for a fight. Biden is in for a fight. The government is in for a fight. The government here in New Mexico is in for a fight, and they've already lost a bunch of battles this year. This next year, when we have the elections for governor here, there are some people who are running that are amazing for this state. There are people here who are running for governor that would make MLG look like a criminal, which she is. Greg Zanetti is running for governor here. He would make a great governor. Louis Sanchez is running for a state position. Or he has run for a state position as one. A bunch of Republicans have run for positions here over the past year or two. A lot of them have lost, but some have won. And these are things a year or two ago would never have happened. But New Mexico is changing. California is changing. Colorado is changing. Arizona is changing. Michigan is changing. New York is changing. These are things that the people are finally waking up to. These are things that the people are finally starting to flex their muscles over. And once the people start doing that, the government is lost. They're either lost or they need to change their ways of doing things. Because the American people, when they start speaking, will not be put down. Thank you again for listening to us here tonight for our show for Friday the 18th of February. The 21st, which is Monday, I usually have an update for that. It is President's Day. I will hold off doing an update on Monday. I will do them Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And then next Friday will be my show. Tomorrow is Black by Color Only with Vincent Brown at 5 o'clock Eastern Time. And on Sunday, if Bing Fisher is back from the problems that he has had, will be American by Design, Bing Fisher, or our own Uncle Bing Fisher. Prayers offered for him and his family for the sicknesses and the health problems they've had going on. If you would give your prayers to them. And until this next week on Tuesday, I will be back for my update on Tuesday. I'll be back on Wednesday, and I'll be back on Thursday. And then on Friday will be my next show. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you next week. God bless you all. God bless you all.